listening live.
Cause that's the bottom line.
Live from the Christian Broadcasting Studios, it's the Wednesday, March 27th edition of The Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky makes the Sweet 16, but did they deserve it? If you're a chalk pusher, you love this tournament. Oh, by the way, baseball season starts on Thursday, and we've got not one, not two, not three, but four Mac Daddy Stogie picks of the week for college basketball, including Kentucky's matchup with Houston. So let's go.
They're off.
She's Asian, she's loose, and she's fat. I hit the trifecta.
If you've mastered the art of win, place, and show wagers, let's try a trifecta.
Creating a trifecta of joint smoking power.
It's the trifecta, the top three stories at local sports. Story number one, of course, Kentucky defeating Wofford on Saturday, 62-56. A game in which Wofford's record-setting three-point shooter Fletcher McGee went 0 of 12 from three-point land. And the number three player in America in efficiency, Cameron Jackson of Wofford, went 4 of 12 from the field and had three turnovers. So in other words, they didn't show up for the big game. Reed Travis was Kentucky's best player with 14 points, but most importantly, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, including two big free throws as the game was ending, to cover the point spread, which sat at 5 or 5.5, depending on where you shopped and what time you shopped. And if you go online anywhere, you can see the videos of the sports books out in Las Vegas celebrating as Kentucky barely covered the spread with those free throws. So Big Blue Nation loves Reed Travis for many reasons today, not just the fact that they won the game, but that he helped them cover the spread, and then Wofford was stupid enough not to get the easy two at the end, but to jack up a three-pointer that had no chance. So Kentucky wins, and now they advance to the Sweet 16 late night Friday night against the Houston Cougars. And no, Akeem Olajuwon ain't walking through that door. Clyde Drexler ain't walking through that door. And unfortunately for Kentucky, Guy V. Lewis is not walking through that door. Because if you ask anybody from 1983 associated with North Carolina State, they will tell you that he basically won the game for them, not Jim Valvano. But the big question in Big Blue Nation today, will P.J. Washington play in the upcoming game? There is a video coming out today that he's actually without his crutch and his little walker stroller thingy, whatever that thing was. For us, we'll believe it when we see it. I don't think he's playing, but then again, I could be wrong. We'll have more on this game, including our point spread pick, coming up later in the show.
Most valuable players of the game for Houston, Akeem Abdul-Olajuwon and Sam Bowie for the Wildcats. Be sure now to stay tuned for the Super Bowl today, followed by Super Bowl 18 between the Washington Redskins and the Los Angeles Raiders. For Billy Packer, I'm Gary Bender. The final score, 74-67 Kentucky.
Story number two, if you're a chalk pusher, if you're Marge from accounting who doesn't watch any basketball all year long, and then all of a sudden at the tournament you got to fill out your office pool and you just go buy the seeds, man, you're rolling in the dough today. 14 of the 16 top four seeds advanced to the Sweet 16, tying for a record from 10 years ago. The only outliers were number 5 seed Auburn, who probably should have been favored to get there anyway, and number 12 seed Oregon, who had to face a 13 seed to get to the Sweet 16. So all the chalk pushers, all the people who love the favorites, congratulations. All the people who play underdogs in the brackets, sorry about your luck. Because as we always preach on this show, when you're taking brackets, always take the favorites. When you're taking games against the point spread in the tournament, always look for underdogs. As our documented 12-4 record against the spread last week will prove, because we took all underdogs. And if you're interested in those picks, make sure to follow us at Bottom Line Lex. You'll see little tidbits about the tournament and gambling on the tournament all throughout these weekend games as we post our picks on a daily basis. But of course, all the favorites ran through. Duke survived a choke job by Central Florida and got away with pushing and shoving people underneath for that last rebound. Where were the referees on that one? I'm shocked they didn't call a pushing foul on that last free throw rebound. But of course, UCF would have won that game if they had just made that wide open dunk with about 1.5 minutes to go. So as always, Duke's deal with the devil continues. LSU somehow beat Maryland after Maryland got off to a terrible start and realized, if we just play a zone defense, these guys are worthless. Look out, LSU, in the next round. Now LSU wins the game against Michigan State next round after they've been exposed as a team that can't play against zone. Same thing about Tennessee, who was up 25 and then had to win in overtime. There's two words that I'll give you that is the biggest reason why Tennessee had to win that game in overtime while being up 25 during the game. Rick Barnes. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this man lost double-digit games with Kevin Durant on his team and three other NBA players. Rick Barnes, the key to losing your money in the NCAA tournament. So if you're a chalk pusher and like to take the favorites, God bless you. You've got at least 14 out of 16 teams left in the Sweet 16, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And odds are, you're probably going to feel pretty good about yourself come Sunday night when this is down to four teams as well. Congratulations. You've heard the expression, every dog has its day. Every chalk pusher has his day, too.
Lansford, good hitting Oakland third baseman, and Myers bringing it. And the pitch is hit in the air, foul, off first. Benzinger backing and calling. And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds. The Cincinnati Reds have done the absolute improbable by defeating the club considered to be the best in Major League Baseball, and they've done it in a four-game series sweep.
Story number three. By the way, it's baseball season starting on Thursday afternoon. If you listen to the oddsmakers out of Las Vegas, the World Series will be the Yankees over the Dodgers. Yeah, we don't believe that. We don't think the Yankees are going to make it. We put a couple of flyers on the Tampa Rays to make the playoffs and the Washington Nationals, sans Bryce Harper, to make the playoffs. And of course, the old traditional opener, what used to be the Reds all to themselves playing the first game, it is no more. The Reds just play an opening day game just like everybody else now. I remember when I was a kid, there were caravans that would go to this opening day game every single year, and they had a parade, and it was like a national holiday. Not anymore. Times have changed. The Reds are just another team now. Our friends out in the desert say that the Reds will win 79.5 games this year. That's a pretty good number. My only question for the Reds to start the season is who's going to get outs? Because your starting rotation to start the season, Luis Castillo, Sonny Gray, Tanner Roark, Anthony DeSclafani, Tyler Malley. Not exactly Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz there, is it? Who gets outs? That's going to be the big question for the Reds this year. That's why I can't take them over the 79.5, which a lot of the wise guys have been doing. But on Thursday afternoon, Pittsburgh will travel to Cincinnati for their first of 19 matchups this year. Luis Castillo will start for the Reds, 4.30 ERA last year, 1.22 whip, while the Pirates will go with Jameson Taillon. ERA last year, 3.20, whip 1.18. But what makes Taillon such a special pitcher in our books? In his career, the Pirates are 46-29. That's 61.3% when Taillon starts. And if you're playing these games out in the desert, that's a 19.1% return on investment. Filter that down to road games only, which is what the Pirates will be on Thursday, the road team. Now Taillon is 23-12 career on the road with the Pirates. That's not something we want to go against. I've got the better pitcher with the better stats and a history of success. Give us the Pirates over the Reds easy on Thursday afternoon. And that's what I call an opening day, Mac Daddy Stogie. You can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
Now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
It's Mac Daddy Stogie time. Let's forget all this other stuff. Get right to this tournament. We like four games in the Sweet 16 round of the NCAA tournament on Thursday night. Tennessee is a two-point favorite over Purdue. Now, why in God's name would we want to take Purdue in this game? Purdue started out 6-5 on the year. Since then, including their conference season, they're 19-4, including a win against Michigan State. Not to mention, Purdue has run roughshod over their opponents in the first two games of the tournament, defeating Old Dominion by 13, defeating Villanova by 26. Rocking chair wins indeed, while Tennessee, after starting 23-1, are 10-4 since, but have struggled in this tournament, defeating Colgate only by 7, defeating Iowa only by 6, and it took overtime to do that. But what do we always say that we love at the NCAA tournament? Underdogs who play defense at a very slow pace. Purdue's getting 2 points, and they are 267th in the nation in tempo, which means they're very slow. We went 12-4 against the spread last week using these trends. We'll do it again this week. Give us Purdue getting 2 against Tennessee and spring a little bit on that money line while you're at it. We think the Boilermakers advance in this one. Game number 2 Thursday night, Texas Tech is a 2-point underdog against Michigan. Texas Tech quite possibly, other than Oregon, the most impressive team in this tournament so far, defeating Northern Kentucky by 15, defeating Buffalo by 20 to get to this point. But in this game, you have the number 1 and number 2 defensive teams, according to the KenPom ratings, in all of college basketball. Add to that, you've got Texas Tech, 232nd in tempo with America. They run a slow offense. And although it's never a good idea to bet against John Beilein in the tournament, his 19-9 spread record with Michigan notwithstanding, we're going to take Texas Tech, tough on defense, the best defense in America, slow pace, getting 2 points. We'll take Texas Tech getting those 2. That's pick number 2. Move to Friday night. Virginia Tech getting 7 against Duke. You talk about teams that play at a slow pace. Virginia Tech, there's 353 teams in America. This team is 332nd in tempo. They are one of the slowest teams in America. And oh, by the way, they defeated Duke, albeit without Zion Williamson, on February 26th. Virginia Tech not really tested so far in this tournament. 14-point win over St. Louis, 9-point win over Liberty. Whereas we all know what Duke went through over the weekend in that Magic Act escape route against UCF, a game they should have lost for various reasons. We don't need to get into that again. But if you're going to give us a team like Virginia Tech, who plays at a very slow pace, and a conference rival that knows each other, yes, we'll take 7 points. We took this game earlier this week on Monday. We took this game at 7.5. The line has dropped to 7. It might get down to 6.5, 6 before it's over. So we'll take Virginia Tech getting those points, having already proven they can defeat Duke once this year and one of the slowest paced teams in America. That's pick number 3. And of course, pick number 4, Kentucky versus Houston. We all know about Kentucky. Is PJ Washington going to play? Is he just going to watch? Is he going to have a stroller? At this point, does it really matter? Yes, it does matter. We don't think he's going to play, despite what you saw on Wednesday on social media. But here's what we know about Houston. 247th in tempo. Do you sense a trend in the teams we're taking? Do you sense a trend in these successful NCAA teams this year? Yes. They don't run it up and down the court as much as they slow things down. But Houston, number 1 in the nation in field goal percentage defense and number 1 in the nation in 3-point percentage defense. So they get after it on the defensive end of the court. Not to mention, they did something this year that Kentucky could not do. And that was defeat LSU, as they beat LSU on December the 12th by 6 points. So I've got a slow-paced team, 66 possessions a game. 70 is usually our calling card. If you see a team with less than 70 possessions a game, that's a slow pace. The number 1 defensive field goal percentage team in the country. And oh, by the way, they defeated Georgia State by 29 in the first round and defeated Ohio State by 15 in the second round. And oh, by the way, you've got Kelvin Sampson, a proven cheater. But then when he looks down to the other end of the sidelines there, John Calipari, another proven cheater. So we'll call that one a wash. Although Kelvin Sampson, 33-3. Can you ignore that? Probably not. We're here to tell you, Kentucky is not going to make it through this weekend. Even if they defeat Houston on Friday night, they're not going to beat North Carolina potentially on Sunday night. So what would you rather do, lose to Houston or lose to Kentucky? Eh. But if you're going to give us a slow-paced team like this with the number 1 field goal defensive percentage team in America, giving us 3 against a team that doesn't have their best player, PJ Washington, we'll take it. Give us Houston and 3, and you can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. We'll take it. So to recap, we're taking Purdue plus the 2 against Tennessee. We're taking Texas Tech plus the 2 against Michigan. We'll take Virginia Tech plus 7 against Duke. And we'll take Houston plus 3 against Kentucky. And as always, you can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them.
Everybody in the world bets. I can't tell you how many normal people, from a mother or two to an uncle or a sports fan, that's whether they're betting $100 or $50 or $500, enjoy having a little action on the game that's on TV. Gives you a reason to live. I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you must be living in a cave.
And that does it for the Wednesday, March 27th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. We thank you for the positive feedback we received last week for John Clay and our bracket spectacular. John Clay is a great guy and a great sport, and we owe him tremendously for all that he does for us and our show. And John, if you're out there listening this week, thank you so much. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. You'll get our documented picks throughout the NCAA tournament. You'll get little gambling tidbits about the tournament as well. Because believe me, and I've got plenty to vouch for us, nobody's more prepared to do a show than we are here at the Bottom Line. We may not be the best show of the world on air, but nobody's prepared better than we are. Again, thank you so much for listening, and as always, may the winners be yours.
Listen, good luck. Cash and tickets is what it's all about. So long, everybody.